This morning, we are starting a new series on the person of David, the person of David. I'm going to be looking at his life and his story about how he related to the Lord. The title of this series is called After God's Own Heart. After God's Own Heart. David was the man after God's own heart. And outside of Jesus, King David is actually the most talked about person in the entire Bible. Did you know that? The most talked about person in the entire Bible. In fact, if you take all of the verses that talk about King David, it makes up 66 chapters of the Bible just by themselves. He is talked about all over the place in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And that is because David is labeled as the man after God's own heart. But what made David get this title? What was it? Was it because he was a perfect man and he lived a perfect life and was able to go after God's own heart? Well, if you know the story of David, he was far from perfect. Was it because he was from a royal family, right? He was a king, King David of Israel. Maybe that's why he was the man after God's own heart, because he had this royal stature and all of this fame and all of these things, or because he never sinned. None of this at all was why he was the man after God's own heart. As we'll see in this series, that David's life is full of sin, he's far from perfect, and he certainly isn't from a royal family. David is actually an average man, just like you and I, just an average boy who grew up in rural Israel, but there was something different about David, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. David was average, but he was anointed. Average, but anointed. See, in order to understand David's story of becoming a man after God's own heart, you have to understand the background of the time. You see, David was living in Israel, and up until recently, Israel didn't have a king, right? There's a whole book called the Book of Judges, and these were the people that kind of led Israel during the time that they came into the Promised Land, all this kind of stuff. They were led by these different judges in different time periods. They didn't have a king. God was their king. He was their ruler. He was the one that was leading the nation of Israel. But the people wanted a king to be able to protect themselves from the enemies around them, from the Philistines and from the Amalekites and all of these other people. So here's what they did. God allowed them to pick a king. And God said, here's what you do. You just cast lots, right? You make a lottery. So imagine the state of Wyoming says, hey, we're gonna pick our next governor by just doing a lottery. And everybody is going to get a number, and we're just gonna randomly draw a number, and that person is going to be the governor. That's what they did for the king. And Saul was chosen to be their king through these lots. And Saul was, by all physical accounts and human accounts, he was going to be a great king, and he was a great king. He was tall, he was strong, he was athletic, he had the abilities to be able to lead and to do all of these things. Saul did good stuff as a king. However, Saul failed to listen and obey God. And because of that, we see very early on in Saul's kingship that his family is going to lose the kingship. It's not going to pass to his son Jonathan because Saul failed to listen to and obey God. And if you're going to be the king of God's nation Israel, you better listen and obey God, right? That's right. So Saul failed to listen and obey God, so his family would lose the throne. In fact, this is what it says in 1 Samuel 13. It says, "How foolish," Samuel exclaimed. "You've not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." See, because he did not follow the Lord, he lost his kingdom. And what we see a few chapters later, after chapter 13, is that David is this man that Samuel talks about, the man after God's own heart. And instead of God letting the people of Israel choose their king, God now chooses the king for them. And he chooses a person who is average, a person who is ordinary, a person who is just like you and I, but he is anointed by God to be king. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, you've mourned long enough for Saul. I've rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask with olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be my king. But Samuel asked, how can I do that? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. Well, think about this for a minute. Samuel has a good point. God is telling Samuel, in essence, to commit treason, right? Saul is the king, but God is saying, hey, I'm establishing a different king. And Samuel's like, hey, I know what happens. If I go and anoint somebody else to be king while Saul is already king, that's treason. Saul will kill me. And God says, do it anyway. Here's what you do. Take a heifer with you, the Lord replied, and say that you've come to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. So Samuel did as the Lord instructed. And when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town came trembling to meet him. What's wrong? They asked. Do you come in peace? Yes, Samuel replied. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, this is not the one the Lord has chosen. Excuse me. Next, Jesse summoned Shimeah. But Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. And in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Well, there's still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he is out in the fields watching the sheep and goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes, and the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Excuse me, I'm still getting over a cold, so hopefully I don't cough too much in this message. Let's put this story in some Wyoming context for just a moment. Jesse, look at it this way. Jesse is a rancher, right? He's a sheep rancher. He's got sheep and he's got goats. And he has eight sons. And Samuel, who's the local prophet, he's the local pastor, he comes to town and he tells Jesse that he's planning a special church service. And he wants him and his family to be there. So here's what Jesse does. He grabs his seven oldest sons, leaves the eighth one at home. Anybody with little kids know what I'm talking about? You leave the young one at home so you don't have to deal with them. Bring the older ones. He leaves him at home, and here's what Jesse does. He goes out and he buys all new Sunday best clothes for his seven sons. He gets them ready to go to this church service. They go and they shower and they get haircuts and they just get everything ready, and they walk into that special church service ready to go. They look like they are meant to be there. They head to church. Samuel, the pastor, starts talking about God and how God wants to anoint someone there to be the president of the United States. Can you imagine if a pastor came to Tent Sleep, Wyoming and started saying that somebody in this room is going to be the president of the United States? You would think they were crazy. They were wacko. They were nuts. Yeah, some of you are like, please, Lord, at least there'll be some common sense, right? But you think, like, there's no way that's going to happen. Right? They're in a small rural town. So this is what happens to Jesse. Samuel comes and says, hey, Jesse, get your sons ready. I want to anoint one of them to be king. Go through this purification process and this ritual, right? You need to go and you need to wash and you need to sacrifice offerings to the Lord so you can come before him to worship him, and you need to do all of these things to get ready. So that's what he does. And then he goes to Jesse and he asks if all of his sons are there. Of course, someone had to stay behind to watch the ranch, right? Somebody has to work. And David, being the youngest, he got that privilege. So Samuel, what he does is he stops the entire church service. And he says this: hey, somebody here is called to be the president of the United States, but they're not here. So why don't you go get the son that's not here and we'll wait for him? Could you imagine? Just look around this morning. There's a few people that aren't here this morning, right? A few people are here last week, a few people are here the week before. Imagine if I got them and say, hey, before I preach this morning, you need to go get everybody who's not here and bring them to church, and then we'll start church. My goodness, Samuel, he's got some guts to just walk into this little town and tell everybody what to do. That's what he says. He says, go get David. We'll wait. We don't have to worship the Lord yet. We'll wait for him. But see, it's a good thing that Jesse listened, because God wanted to anoint David that day to become king of Israel. You see, there's nothing special about David. He's an average person seeking the heart of God, and the Lord anointed him. He was average, but anointed. And I believe that the same is true for you and I. See, you're most likely at church this morning or watching online because you are like David. You are a man or a woman after God's own heart. You want to get closer to God, learn more about him and his word, and you want your life to reflect Christ so that the people around you see more of him and less of you. And you may be thinking, hey, there's nothing special about me, right? I'm just trying to get closer to God. I'm just an average man, an average woman. I'm an average rancher, an average business owner, an average teacher, an average mom or dad. But God has something special for you. See, you may be average, but God has anointed you to do something incredible for his kingdom. He has set you apart. That's what it means to be anointed, to be set apart. David was an average man, but God in this moment is intervening in his life and saying, I am setting you apart for something more, something that you never thought you could possibly do. You average person in Ten Sleep, Wyoming, I am setting you apart to do something great for my kingdom. See, sometimes we can over-spiritualize what it means to be anointed, right? We can see somebody preach the word of God and think, man, the anointing is all over them, right? Man, they explain the word of God. You can see their passion and their love for the Lord. They are anointed. But to be anointed simply means to be set apart. So how do we become more than just an average person, but become average and anointed, set apart for whatever it is that God is calling us to do? Well, there's a few things that we see in the story of David, three things, in fact, that his journey to being anointed as king can teach you and I. The first one is this: David was average, but his heart was pure. You see, before David could be set apart for God, his heart had to be pure. And this is something that can be easily overlooked in this story because it has more to do with who David wasn't than who he is. This is what it says. Samuel replied, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. So purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. And when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Let me tell you what's going on here. Samuel comes to town and he says, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to worship the Lord, right? He brought this heifer and in the Old Testament, that's what they would do. They would sacrifice an animal as worship to the Lord. That was their worship service. So it says, hey, before you can come into the presence of God and worship the Lord, you have to go through this purification process. You have to sacrifice some animals to forgive yourself of your sins, right? You have to go and you have to bathe. You have to put on fresh garments and clothes. This whole purification process would take somewhere between 24 to 48 hours to do. And so Jesse and all of his sons go through this process. They get there. They're ready to go to worship God the way that they thought. Outward appearance, they are ready. They did all of the religious rituals to get there. But notice who didn't do those things. David. David wasn't there. You see, so many times we think, man, in order to be anointed by God, I've got to do all of these certain outward appearance things right. Right? I got to get my act together before I can come to God. Right? I got to get my life all situated and figured out. I've got to look and dress the part in order for me to encounter the presence of God. And that's just not true. The anointing didn't fall on Jesse or any of his sons who were acting the part. It fell on David. Why? Because David's heart was in the right spot. His heart was pure. See, many times we can look at people's outward appearance and judge their level of anointing. They follow all the rules. One of my Bible college professors put it this way. These people, they don't drink or chew or go with girls that do. On the outside, everything seems great. How could this person not be used by God? They are the perfect person. But you see, God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for a pure heart. And this is something that the Lord really challenged me with during my sabbatical. Am I just doing the right things that I think God wants me to do? Or am I being the person that God chose me to be? Do I have the right heart? Where's my heart? Is it pure? See, God cares more about the inside than he does the outside. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate shopping. Any men hate shopping? Specifically grocery shopping, right? And I'm not being sexist. I'm not being misogynistic when I say that I would prefer my wife to do it. I just don't like it. I hate it. The thing that I hate the worst about grocery shopping is getting produce. There'll be times, Kinsey, I'm in Warland, she's like, hey, can you just stop by Blair's and can you pick up a head of lettuce? Actually, she'll just say, can you get some lettuce? That is way too vague. She knows exactly, any wives know what I'm talking about? Any husbands know what I'm talking about? That's way too vague. I always come home with the wrong lettuce. I grab a head of lettuce, she wanted a bag of lettuce. I grab a bag of lettuce, she wanted salad, not shredded lettuce. It's so confusing. There's so many different types of lettuce. I hate shopping for produce. Absolutely hate it. But I hate shopping for produce because I'm not very good at it. Looks can be very deceiving. Every time I try to buy fruit or vegetables, one of two things happens. One, it looks really good on the outside, but the inside isn't ripe yet. Or two, it looks really good on the outside, but it's rotten in the core. And both of these are deceiving. I do this all the time with strawberries. I'll look at strawberries, they look really good on the outside, but if they're picked too soon and you bite into it, you think it is going to be soft and sweet, and really it's hard and bitter on the inside. I hate that. I want a sweet strawberry, but I always get them when they're too ripe. Or you grab an avocado to make guacamole. And I don't know if any of you guys like avocados, but you can't tell from the outside if an avocado is ripe or not. And everybody's like, well, you feel how soft it is and all this kind of stuff. Listen, you can feel how soft it is, but if it's too soft, you open that thing up and it's rotten on the inside. And every single time I buy an avocado, it is rotten on the inside. And I have to throw it away. You see, Samuel thought that Eliab was the anointed one. He looked the part on the outside. He followed the rituals and the purification process. He was the natural leader of Jesse's sons. He was tall and strong. By his outward appearance, he would have been a great king. But God was more concerned with his heart. You see, David had a pure heart. He spent time with God in the fields when he took care of his father's sheep. He worshiped God when he was alone with the harp and the lyre, not concerned about what other people thought about him, because his worship was for an audience of one. It was for the Lord. You see, David's heart was in the right spot. God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for a pure heart. David was an average guy, but he was chosen to be anointed by God because his heart was in the right place. I want you to think about this for a moment. Where is your heart? It's so easy to get caught up into all of the outward appearance and the things that we're supposed to do. We go to church and we look the part and we act a certain way around certain people and we do all of the things we're supposed to do. But where's your heart? If you want to be anointed by God, you have to have a pure heart. The second thing that we see about being anointed is that David was average, but he was anointed because he was chosen by God. David was average, but he was chosen by God. The story goes on. It says, Jesse told his son Abinadab to step forward and walk in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, hey, this is not the one that the Lord has chosen. Next, Jesse summoned Shimea. But Samuel said, neither is this the one that the Lord has chosen. And in the same way, all seven of Jesse's sons were presented to Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Well, they're still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. Well, send for him at once, Samuel said. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. See, David was an average boy, but he was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. And I don't know about you, but when I read these verses, it's much easier for me to relate to David's brothers than it is to David. Think about this for a moment. It's easy for us to compare ourselves to the people that are chosen by God. We compare ourselves to other Christians and we say things like, man, I wish I had their faith. Man, I wish I had their courage, or I wish I had their boldness. Man, I can see why God chose them to be a pastor or to lead this ministry or to serve in this area of the church. They have such an anointing, or they have such a gift, such a passion. No wonder God chose them. It's so easy to relate to the other brothers. Say, God's not chosen me, but look at those people that God has chosen. You see, the truth is God's anointing comes after being chosen. Think about this for a minute. God doesn't choose the anointed, he anoints the chosen. John 15, 16 says this. It says that Jesus chose you. You have an anointing. You have been set apart by God to do something great for his kingdom, something that only you can do. And God's not choosing you because you're anointed. He's anointing you because he chose you. Jesus is calling on you to be more than average, but to be set apart, to bring him glory and to make his name known to others. This is what Peter means when he says in 2 Peter 2:9 that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, God's anointing is on every believer because God has called every believer to be his chosen people. You are a royal priest, God's special possession, and you have been chosen to declare the praises of God who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You may be saying, but I'm just an average man. I'm just an average woman. There's nothing special about me. And that's the point. God chose you anyway. David was average, but God still chose him. And God chose you even though you were average. Do you think there's anything special about me standing up here being a pastor, preaching the word of God? Not at all. God chose this average, ordinary kid from Southern Missouri to preach the word of God and to lead his church. Not because I was already anointed, but because God wanted to set me apart to preach his word. And it's the same with you. God has chosen you for a purpose. And whatever he chooses you for you to do in this life, whether it's to run your own business, to be a stay-at-home mom, to operate a ranch, or even be a pastor, he will anoint you and set you apart because he chose you to do it. God doesn't choose the anointed, he anoints the chosen. And the last thing that we see about being set apart for God is this, that David was average, but he was full of the Spirit. David was average, but he was full of the Spirit. It says this in verse 13. It says, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And then Samuel returned to Ramah. This is powerful. See, David was just an average, ordinary shepherd. He tended the flocks and he tried his best to have a pure heart before the Lord, to really love and worship the Lord, just like you and I. There was nothing special about him that would set him apart to be able to become the next king of Israel, except that he was chosen by God. He was average but anointed. But look at what God anoints him with. God anointed David with his power, with the Holy Spirit, not with his own. And it's the same for you and I. God anoints you with his power, not yours. He anoints you with his power, not yours. Whatever it is that God has chosen you to do and set you apart and anointed you to do, he's not asking you to do it in your own power and in your own strength, right? We're just average, ordinary, everyday people. But he fills us with the power of his Holy Spirit to be able to do what he has called us to do. You see, David gets anointed. He gets set apart by God in 1 Samuel 16. And I want you to catch this. You may not have noticed this before. It's in 1 Samuel 16 that he's anointed and set apart by God to be the king. And the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon David from that day on. That's what scripture says. But look, think about the most famous story that you and I know about David. David and Goliath. When he goes and he slays the giant Goliath with nothing but a stone and a slingshot. Do you know when that story takes place? It takes place in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The chapter right after this story where David is anointed by the Holy Spirit. You see, David was able to do the impossible and slay Goliath because not because of his own strength, but because he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. When you read the story of David and Goliath, he is not there, and it's not just this little puny kid that gets to take down this huge Goliath. It is the power of the Holy Spirit inside of him, giving him the strength and the ability to do it. David could not kill Goliath with his own strength, but because he was anointed by God, he could do the impossible. And the same is true for you and I. I fully believe that the Spirit of the Lord wants to come powerfully upon you. He wants to anoint you with power and boldness to do what God has chosen you to do. You are average, but anointed. God wants to anoint you with his power, not yours. And God shows us how he does that in Acts chapter 2. He says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, much like we are today. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Sherry, if you want to come and begin to play the piano. I believe that the Lord wants to anoint you with his power this morning. His power, not yours. He wants to set you apart to do a work in this world that only you can do. He's placed you in this world, in this community, in this family, in this career, surrounded by these people for a reason and for a purpose, because you're needed. Maybe thinking, but I'm just an average person. Yes, you are. But an average person that God wants to anoint. He wants to set apart. And his anointing starts with purifying your heart, repenting of your sins, letting the core of who you are be changed by God, not just your actions. His anointing continues by recognizing that God has not chosen you because you are anointed, but he's anointing you and setting you apart because you've been chosen by God. He has hand-selected you to a calling that only you can accomplish. And God wants to anoint you by filling you full of his Spirit. Because you may be average, but he wants to give you the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and maybe you're saying to yourself, man, I want to be set apart by God to accomplish whatever he is calling me to do. Maybe you don't know exactly what that looks like, but you know, God, you're calling me to something more. You're calling me to be a teacher, to influence the next generation, God. You're calling me maybe even to go into ministry and to be a pastor or a missionary. God, you're calling me just to love my family and to show them the truth of the gospel. He wants to set you apart and fill you with his power and his Spirit. And if that's you, you're saying, I want to be anointed by God to accomplish what he's calling me to do. Will you take the next few moments to just come up to the front of these altars? And will you just raise your hands and begin to worship Jesus and ask him to fill you with his Spirit? Like I said, you may not know what it is exactly that God is calling you to do, but you want to be anointed and ready for when he tells you. Come stand at the front. I want to anoint you with oil and pray that the Holy Spirit fills you with his power and sets you apart for whatever work God has chosen you to do. So if you want to be set apart by the Lord this morning to do what he's called you to do, will you come this morning and let's pray and seek the Lord. wherever you're sitting this morning, will you just bow your head and just lift your hands to the Lord? Holy Spirit, you are here this morning, and you are speaking to our hearts, Lord. I believe that you are calling us, Lord, calling us to more, God, that you are setting us apart. We are humbling ourselves in this morning, and we're saying, God, whatever it is that you are calling us to do, we are here. I pray, Lord, that you will create in me a clean and a pure heart, a desire to worship you, to glorify your name, to forgive me of my sins, to restore my soul. And God, you have chosen us already. John 15, 16, before we chose you, you chose us. And we are so thankful that you chose us to be set apart, to be a royal priesthood, holy and a holy nation before you. And God, I believe that you are speaking to people this morning and you are speaking directly to their hearts and their souls and you're saying, I am choosing to use you. God, I pray in this moment you will just speak clearly and specifically of how it is that you want to use us. God, I'm choosing to use you to lead my church and to preach the word. I'm choosing you to mold the next generation in our schools about what it means to have a godly influence and a biblical worldview. I'm choosing you to impact your family and those around you. I'm choosing you to be the next leaders in our community, to show our community what a godly man and a woman is in leadership. God, I pray you speak specifically to us. I'm choosing you to show other businesses what a God-honoring business is. A business that takes time to worship the Lord, that treats their employees with dignity and honor and respect, and that gives to the Lord. You are choosing us to be set apart. And God, I pray lastly, God, that we cannot be used by you with our own power and our own might. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need your boldness. We need your power. We need your authority to come into our lives and to be able to slay the giants in front of us, to be able to do the impossible. God, I pray in this moment that your spirit will just fill each and every one of us, that you will come and revive our souls again. And we say that I am not going into this world on my own, but with the power of the Lord and the fullness of his might that is on my side. Because when we are set apart by you, we are set apart in your fullness. We are not alone. We thank you, God, that we may be average, ordinary, everyday people, but we are anointed by God to do the work that you have called us to do. Jesus, you said that it is up to all of us to go into the world and to preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I pray that as we prepare to leave this place today, that you will anoint us to fulfill the Great Commission, to do the work that you have called us to do. God, I pray that you anoint us and fill us with your spirit to go into our community, into our families, and into this world that we live in and preach the gospel with our heart and with our actions. And we say that there is a better way to live. Jesus can restore your soul. He can forgive your sins. He can take your sin, cast it as far as the east is from the west. He can make in you a clean and a new person. Help us, God, to share the truth of who you are with those around us. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that even though we are average, regular people, you have chosen to anoint us to be used for your kingdom and for your glory. Lord, may you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all we say and do until we gather here together again next week to worship and glorify you. In your name, Jesus.